Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There is an incident of Hazrat Rabi'atul Ra'i, the Ustad of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. Although the authenticity of it is debatable, but many luminaries like Sheikh Awama and Sheikh Abdul Fattah have quoted the incident. Mujahid returns to his house approximately after 25 years to see a man at the entrance of his home. So naturally he is extremely upset. This is my wife's residence, what are you doing here? And the other one asks, and this is my mother's residence, what do you want? Voices are raising, tempers are flaring. Meanwhile, the mother overheard all the commotion and she opened the door, ushered both of them inside. She recognized her husband and explained the situation to the son as well. Nonetheless, the following morning, perhaps around that time, the father is discussing, you know, when I left for this 25-year journey of mine, I left an amanat of 30,000. What's happened to it? He said, no, just go and perform your Fajr Namaz and stay there for the program and you may return after that. So he comes back very excited. The bayan of stops, man. How you will say, the youngster and the bayan that he has given and the type of people that were sitting there, seeing all leading people sitting with big beards, and this was a youngster that was conducting the session, and how profound was that session of his. So when he gave out all the words of tarif, all the applaud, so he says, you know who was that? That was your son. You had left him when he was conceived, and the 30,000 was spent on his education and tarbiyat. So Allah Ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ, has made you the successors of this world. One person, one people is succeeding the next people. We don't see a vacuum in this world. Malum nahi ye dunya kiska jalwa hai. We don't know. It is the manifestation of whose beauty. You never see a void. As we sit here, 100 years ago there was nobody. In the whole of Springer Beach, I think, there wasn't a person 100 years ago that is alive today. And 100 years from now, inshallah, nobody will be around from the people that are around now. But then too, do you see a void? Do you see a void in the whole equation? No void. So it continues. But in this whole equation, what Allah is saying, that you got a very brief stay. In that brief stay, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, we're going to check you out. We're going to see you out. We're going to inspect you. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ, in the gifts that we have bestowed you, we're going to see you. جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَكُمْ, and the real test, where does the test come up? The test comes in this, وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَكُمْ, that we have raised some above others in degrees and ranks. Someone is more intelligent, someone is less intelligent. Someone is more privileged, someone is less privileged. Someone is healthier, someone is weaker. Someone is more religious and someone is less religious. Someone is more fortunate in whatever business he does, he is more fortunate and someone is less someone is ruling and someone is the ruler. Someone is more popular and someone is not known. So this is the real trial. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا أَتَاكُمْ, that this differences of ranks was not that you become boastful and you become proud and you begin to show your superiority over the other. But لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا أَتَاكُمْ, that it may be a test in the gifts that we bestow you. That how do you conduct yourself? Do you consider it as a gift of Allah Ta'ala? An easy way to come to terms with all this is consider yourself to be just a conduit. Right? It's a reservoir. It's a reservoir that is serving the entire community. One is a reservoir that will serve them with water, right? Basic ingredient. But imagine now a reservoir that is providing pearls and gems, right? So the one that is in control of the reservoir, he has got the right to use the conduit that he wants, the pipe that he wants. The conduit itself cannot be proud. Can it be proud? No. The conduit is just the means. It is just being channeled through. But the conduit has to feel happy that I have been selected from amongst the crowd. From all the people there, I have been selected. But together with that, not to consider itself to be worthy and deserving. Not to be feeling that I am entitled, I am eligible, I deserve this. No. Not to feel that I am worthy of it, and this is mine. Not at all, not for a second, that this is mine. No. Person went for a holiday, he's got a posh home at a beachfront, a holiday resort, one of its kind, 50 acres land with all the works, he's got everything, the wild animals, a stream running around, beach cottage, and you can talk of all the type of luxuries, that you can imagine, he's got everything, the food and the works, everything he's got it. Right? So he's going out for Hajj and says, I'm coming back after 2 months, you can just look after my place, you can use the place. Imagine what is the resort like. And he gives it to you, that use it, use what you want. Everything is to your service for this duration. Now, when you are gone abroad, so he distorts all the papers, brings all that property to his name. And you come back, how do you feel? So, this is where we stand. That whatever we see is not ours really. The good, the beauty, the knowledge, the intelligence, the acumen, whatever you've got, it's not yours. And the more we can think and we can come to terms with it that it's not yours, the more you are online, the more you're on the track. But the moment you shift away from this, then you're in problem. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ قَوْمُ لَا تَفْرَحْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ. Don't be boastful. The word farah has come in the Quran Sharif in different places, right? بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. One place that you need to express and you need to show that happiness. Again, the word farah has been used. At the grace of Allah Ta'ala. In one place, la tafrah, don't show happiness. So the translation will be the same. Don't be happy here, and here show that happiness. So the importance of understanding context. We don't understand context, then rather we just keep quiet. I don't know this. See, where this world is becoming complicated is where everybody wants to give his 2 cents. Everybody wants to give his 2 pence. So obviously there will be a complication. Now the person that knows the context, he knows where to use what type of a gem, what type of a commodity, he will get it right. And the person that doesn't know about it, he's going to mix up things. And he's going to mix up things, he's going to create a confusion. He's just got that half information, little bit information, and he wanted to use that information of his. is ni mulla, khatra iman. It's half baked, right? When it's half baked, obviously he's going to be posing a threat to your iman, because he's half baked. He's got some information, but he doesn't know how to assimilate that information that he's got. What it results in? It results in destruction, in ruin, because he doesn't know how to use that information. That is why, I'll come back to this topic again just now, but as the thoughts are running in my mind, I will share it with them, with you inshallah. Abu Buzugana didn't say, by apno ko mat chhor, dusro ko mat chhor. For most people, 99% of the people, this advice works 100%. If I say 100%, I don't think I'll be exaggerating. But they say, don't leave your own and don't interfere with others. In other words, the ways, the culture, the behavior, the thinking, the understanding, the application of your ulama, senior, great, righteous ulama, right, that are alive or that have passed on, and more those that have passed on, they have a certain way, they have a certain thinking, they have a certain thought, right? You have seen it from the beginning to the end, and where the thought has taken them, you have seen all. And then you see another group that is experimenting, doing a lot of things, right? Now this may catch the eye. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ. They're doing a lot of things. So that may just catch your eye. It may just catch your admiration. You may feel excited about it, but is it something to go with? One is what has been tested and tried over the ages, has been proven. And one is someone is speculating, he's experimenting. What do you do? Do you go with the person that he's experienced, he's tested and tried? He's an advocate, but he's tested and tried. So many cases he's handled. Alhamdulillah, Allah Pak has given him a lot of success. And yet he just come to the scene and he wants to take an intricate case. So what is the logical thing to do? This person may be gambling with your life, and that person is tested and tried. He may be old fashioned, but he's tested and tried. Security is secure. So what they say? Apno ko mat chhor. Don't, your style, your ways, your elders, you've seen them from the beginning till then, don't leave them. فَإِنَّ الْحَيَّ لَا تُؤْمَنُ عَلَيْهِ الْفِتْنَةِ. The one that is alive, you don't know that he can become a victim of fitna. You haven't seen him from the beginning to the end. You don't know what his agenda is. Right? When you don't know what his agenda, he may take you and leave you and dump you, right? He'll dump you in problems. He may just desert you. He may just throw you at the 11th hour. He may just leave you in the lurch. What are you going to do then? How are you going to come? How are you going to save yourself? How are you going to come back to the shore of safety? So this is one who you have tried and trusted. You've seen from the beginning right to the end. And he went. People that followed him, they went. Right? And someone that is new, is coming about new ideas, new ways. They seem to be very appealing, very exciting. But you haven't seen them. You haven't tried and tested them out. When you haven't tried and tested them out, is it going to be safe risking your iman, risking yourself with that person? You don't know what he's taking you, where he's taking you, what he's taking you towards. You don't know it. You don't know, you haven't seen his plan. From the beginning to the end, you don't know it. See? So these ways that were reported and transmitted by Abu Zughan ad-Din, they are ways that are tested and tried. Like you compare a Tablighi Jamaat scene, right? They've got an istima, for example. They may seem to be very outdated. No photoing, no videoing. Old style, sit down, eat, sit down, no chairs, nothing, right? Unless there's an invalid person, no chairs, sitting down. Everything very, very old-fashioned. No notices going out before. Every masjid board, the wall, notice, nothing. No notices, they're going here, that side, the whole world, they're going, giving dawat. They'll go to America also, give dawat to South Africa, istima. Right? But when you analyze the whole thing, see, a businessman must analyze. He mustn't just look at the show. But at the end, he must put his books right, take the account and analyze. At the end, what do I get? So they've got a plan in their minds. What plan do they have in their minds? they have a plan in their minds. You know, some 25 years ago, when Jamaat from Bombay was here, so he was a very capable person, mashallah, very, very capable businessman. He came. So he was the president of about 30 groups, 30 big, big institutions, you know. So then in the course of the conversation, he tells me, you know, there's two levels of work. One is you plan your work, and the second level is then you work your plan. And if you only plan your work, it's half the work. So you plan your work, and you work your plan. There are some ulama that we hear, that we're talking about the marches, you know. To the ordinary person, it seems so exciting, so appealing. So everything looks, catches the eye. So they came to talk to me also, from Johannesburg, the ulama that were leading the marches. So they wanted to know what I have to say about it. So I know it's like a sensitive topic, right? And to talk about this in a tasawwuf halqa, really it's off the course, right? But understand things in context. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi will explain every subject. And the reason that he will discuss every subject, that people mustn't feel that deen is just confined to some aspects of suluk. It's a whole range of topics. And get your minds right. Get your understanding right, balanced. So they came and they came to discuss this. Now we are old fashioned and we are Springer Beach Farm. In the title deeds up to now you'll find farm, right? So we are three-quarter farmers. We're not so advanced like others. So a person is living in a farm, he'll ask you in a simple style, right? He won't ask you in a very modern style. So all I have to ask them, what is your forward plan? Understand what you are doing, and I understand what you are doing as well, is people are in a state of desperation. They're being thrown out, they're being hammered, they're being made homeless, they're being killed, etc. So they are in a state of desperation. But in the state of desperation, they'll want to express their emotions, their feelings, right? Caught up the killing, and the daughter's woman, everything happening. So you want to express your emotions. When you're going to express your emotions, then we will say, alright, you have a reason to express emotions. We won't knock you down for that. If we come hard against you for that, then you'll say you're not standing to reason. Then you can see how I'm struck, and you don't even give me a chance to express my emotions. So I don't need to discuss with you, I don't need to discuss this line. I can't discuss this in this perspective. Because it's an expression of emotions. Someone's father died just now, he's crying. I say, no, what are you crying? Allah will give him jannah. What you must cry for? So you're not allowing the person to express his feelings. So in that respect, I can't discuss this. But understand the people that you're working with, they have got plans. They have got plans and conspiracies for 50 years, 100 years. They work ahead like this. So they understand that they will crush you down, right? And you'll come out crying. What you will do two things. Because of your limitations, you'll do two things. One you will do is marching. And the second thing you'll do is boycotting, right? Anything else you'll do, nothing else. So they're also sitting quiet now, they're wondering now, where's the loose cannon going to explode? How is it going to explode? But I have to prepare myself also. So say, you understand yourself, what you are doing. What you're doing, right? And what they are doing. They're also preparing themselves. They understand that they will crush you down, and this is what you're going to be doing. Marching, taking to the streets, and boycotting them. So what they will do, they've got a plan. See, they've got a plan A, plan B. They plan all these things. At the second level, what they will do, they will stop their marches, and they will stop everything. They will stop the hurting you and persecuting you and crushing you down. They'll stop all that. All that downtrotting, all that, they'll stop it. When they stop it, because there is no substitute for their businesses, so you'll go back to this camp. Right. You'll go back to them. When you'll go back to them, because they say, hey, you know, but I can't help it no more. I'm in a desperation. Now what can I do? I'm on strength. Now what must I do? I have to go back to them. All they have to do is work out the losses. Alright, see, this 3 months we had a bad run, you know. So we had a bad run, and these people are desperate for our business. We'll just have to inflate the prices 2-3 times. We'll get much more than what we lost. then we'll carry on with business, 2-3 years we'll carry on. Again, after 3 years, when you've forgotten, then you'll come crushing you again. Again, you'll do the same thing, again we'll get you again. So, what's the forward plan? So you brought the people, you brought them, you played with the emotions, you brought them right up like this, right? You're like, you were the person, marching, taking to the streets, boycotting the shops and all that. You look like the hero at that time. You brought them here, and then you left them like a pocket of potatoes, just coming down, crushing down. So, what's the forward plan? Now, compare this against an ishtima, old-fashioned style, the old buzuru come from India with a chadar and a lungi and all that is coming up here, right? Ishtima, walking, pedal, jamaat, kapraga, tikana nahi, and he's coming. But they got 3-4 plans in their minds. They know that these people that are coming, that we're going to host, they'll be divided in 3 groups. Right? The one group will be at an advanced level. What do we do for them? The second group will be at an average level. What do we do for them? And the third group will be at an entry level. What do we do with them? Right? The advanced group, what we'll have to do is, right, we'll have to understand what are the weaknesses and correct them, rectify them, because they are committed, the advanced. So we'll want them to be more polished in their approach. Their weaknesses we'll have to rectify, right? Their commitments we'll have to increase. And we'll have to show them how much more they have to go into. They have gone into so many places, and they mustn't become complacent, they must go carry on. But we'll have to give them a polish as well. So we can't allow them to be complacent. We can't give them such an abroad that they feel we have reached the ultimate. So you have to still show them, you know, there is so many more takazas. There's a takaza here, there's a takaza here, all over the world you have to carry on. And with all that, we'll have to polish them, repolish them. Right? This weakness here, that problem, this thing here, you need to sort this thing out. How's your approach with these people here? Your level of ikram is not so good. So you need to improve the standards of your ikram, your akhlaq, etc. So they will be examining all the weaknesses and repolishing them. Right? So that is the one group. That is the advanced group, right? So all this planning is done in advance, right? Then the second group is the average group, coming for 1 guest, not coming, aligning with the work, 3 days now and then, nowadays not doing the 3 days, performing his namaz. Now how we can get the first group onto the second group, by in these 3 days, you need to be working on these people here. We need so many jamaats to go to Australia, to go here. So they will just pick them up, pick their fikr up. Increase the, you see the planning that goes into all this. It's a forward planning. It's not just now, had a big istima, came out together, had some food and meals and some nice talks and all that, passed some resolutions and the end of the story, no, not that. Because they have seen time. Their hair hasn't gone white in the sun. They have got the experience, so much of experience they have got. After the experience, they come to these conclusions. Right? So that is now the middle class. Then you get the entry level. In the entry level, you have 2 groups. You have 1 group now, you can tashkil them and you can move them out. And you'll have the larger amount that is not going to be tashkil. So what do you do with them? So then you tell them, alright, you must align yourself to the second group. Come now and then in gush, come for the talim, do some zikr at home, zikr at, and all of you will become 100% namazis. They'll take everybody's commitments, right? Right. So all that planning is done. Now, when that whole ishtima has ended, you see the levels all picking up. Don't you see the levels picking up? Every area, the levels will be picking up. The first group will be coming into the second group. The second group will be working towards the last group. But everything is moving, and in unison they are moving. So you plan your work, and you work your plan. It's not that you're just planning your work. You know, in the 1970s, we went to India to study, right? So until then, there was some South African Union there. And they still call it big conferences and all that. Because up till then, there were no madrasas locally. Even Newcastle had just started something, but that was also a little bit informal, right? So there wasn't anything that was carrying on inside of no local madrasas. All students had to go overseas to study. And then the students were in different institutes, someone in Lucknow, someone in Randir, someone in Tarkesar, someone Deoband, Sahanpur, Dabil, Jalalabad, all scattered all over the place, right? And then money was a little bit tight as well, so you can't come home every 6 months or every year, although you're getting a holiday in between, so you can't come in between. So you have to come home maybe after every 3 years, every 5 years. Some also came after 9 years, stayed one shot, you know, in one go there, stayed 9 years and they come afterwards. Now, they had to make themselves feel comfortable. So obviously they feel comfortable with their own type or their own kind. So the South Africans will all have some type of a get-together, once in the year and twice in the year. So someone will be hosting the programs. Some year it will be Deoband that will be hosting the program, all students again. Some year it will be Saharanpur, some year it will be Lucknow, sometimes Dabir, whichever the madrasa. So the students will then have some conference. And about 10 days will go in the conference, food and meals and everything provided, and feel happy, rejoice and all that, big, big conferences, big, big resolutions passed, minutes, everything is minuted down, everything in a, you know, conference style. So the 1 year they had it in Saharanpur. Obviously if they have it in Saharanpur, then they'll have to meet Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi. Everybody knows him, so they will want to pay their respects. And Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi, his tabiat, his temperament was such, he had a lot of respect for students, a lot of respect. But more than the respect was the concern as well. Okay, these students are going to be our representatives, be it from my madrasa, be it from any other madrasa and institute. He's going to be representing us. He's going to be representing Islam in whichever corner of the world he's going. He's going to be a representative. So he's going to be a representative, he needs to be a good representative for deen and for Islam. Otherwise, he'll be running down Islam. If he's not a good representative for Islam, he's going to be running down. You know, you send a person, you invite him towards your dealership, right? So the dealership also needs to be in place, it needs to be in order. If the dealership is not right, I send my man, my rep, to advertise for Merck's, Mercedes for example, right? He must go and advertise everywhere, do the marketing. Now the cars that I'm selling, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million I'm selling at that. So I won't want to just spend that 3 million without seeing what I'm purchasing. I need to go and inspect the thing, the commodity that I'm spending upon. I need to go and see it firsthand. What is the plan? What is the service plan? A motor car plan? What is the backup service? All these things I have to see before I make a commitment of 3 million or 4 million. I can't just make a commitment like that. So you'll be doing the marketing. But as you do the marketing, these people will become interested. When they'll come interested, they want to see the dealership. They want to see, alright, you're talking about this. We want to see what we have got to offer. They're not going to just take your word for granted. Because the commitment, they're taking out 3 million, 5 million, they're taking out like that. You think they're going to take out money like that? No, they're going to see that what you're talking about, does it add up to what you have got at the dealership? When they see that the whole thing, that equation is working out, then they're going to make that commitment. So the student, as though he is a product, you're advertising of a madrasa, etc., through your talks, etc., you're talking about ilm, amal, etc. But then what's going to happen? People will come and see, look at the dealership. They will look at you, your product, and they will look at the dealership. Both things they will look at, the products and the dealership. This is what happened to people. You're advertising for Mercedes. So I'll look at the product on the road. How good are they on the road? And I'm going to look at the dealership as well. If I see both is working, then I want to invest. But if I see those cars all broken down on the road, not giving the type of service as you are showing, you know, well, I want to make a commitment. I want. So Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi used to be very concerned, very great concern. I think we can't even comprehend the level of his concern. Can't comprehend. And he will feed them and give them a good time for the day that they were there. You know, he'll give them a good time. Understanding now they're coming from a foreign country, so they need to be spoiled a little bit. But then his concern was even greater than his love. Okay, these people are going to be our representatives. Now, what concern I need to transfer to them? So one day, while they were meeting at the Shaykh Rahmatullahi, he says, Mere Pyaro, this is how he'll address Mere Pyare, my beloved. From the past year to this year, how many conferences you had? So they say, right, 2 or 3 conferences, right? And at the conferences, how many resolutions were passed and minuted? Said so many. from the resolutions that were passed, how many were implemented? When it comes to that, everybody speaks like this. Because we know that at the conference, everybody is bravo, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to shake the world, and send this Jamaat here and do this. But when it comes to action, then... Now, that's why I say, compare this against a Tabligh Jamaat system, right? If they got a resolution, they got a plan, also, a forward plan, also, so many Jamaat. Before they will confirm the istima with Springer Beach, they say, how many Jamaats you're giving? 100 Jamaats or 200 Jamaats. You have to make all the figure, run here, beg for this person here, make the dua, istighfar, khatam, roza, we'll read so many khatam at the ground, to do all that. At the end, you will come and meet the targets. But you see that figure is transferred. That figure is transferred. So that is why they say, apno ko mat chhor, aur dusro ko mat chhor. Don't interfere with the next person. They say, kawwa chali has ki chal, khud apni chal ko bhul gayi. Right. An ostrich, that thing tried to imitate, for example, an eagle, right? That thing forgot to walk. The little bit of walking that it was doing, that thing forgot that as well. Because imagine an ostrich, now it's trying to imitate an eagle. That thing is challenging the clouds. It flies very high. Right? Now this ostrich, we know what it's good for, right? And that thing tried to imitate an eagle. The little that it knew how to walk, that thing forgot that as well. So by what you have got, you hold on to that. And hold firmly onto that. The simplicity of the work mustn't deceive you. See, the work, the dini work, people that are active in the work, whatever type of the khanqa or jamaat or whatever, but they are very simple people, broken down, simple people, 6 points. You talk in a very simple manner. So that simplicity of the work then deceives you. See, it's so simple. Hey, the modern age now, you know, they must move with the times. You know, it's a time of technology. You know, in 10 seconds, you can go right through the world. As good as the bayan may be, but keep it aside, just do your work. You are like that ostrich, and that person is like that eagle. He can move around at his speed, but I can't cope up with you. Let me go and let me carry on my speed. Meri raftar se mujhe chalne do. Let me continue in my pace. But I'm going to try to imitate you. The little that I got, I will forget that as well. جَعَلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ. He's made you successors. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ. In the gifts that He's given, He wants to see you and to test you out. Give me a lot of tests. Someone is given wealth, someone health, someone strength, someone intelligence, right? Someone deen, someone popularity, someone influence. One has got more than the other. In all that, Allah Pak is testing you out. So the people of Qarun, they had told him, they reminded him, إِسْقَالْ لَوْ قَوْمُ لَا تَفْرَحْ. You don't do farah. And one place I say, the Quran says, فَلْ يَفْرَحْ. One is لَا تَفْرَحْ. So in Bayan al-Quran, is explaining the difference here. Same word has been used. And that is why I say, that this half a knowledge, a little knowledge, is dangerous. Rather just follow someone, just lower yourself and just carry on. With blinkers, just carry on. Inshallah, you will come to your end. And you will come to your end with a sweet ending, with a comfortable ending. But otherwise, it's a confused mind. Am I doing right, not doing right, speculating, doing all type of things. One person you heard, he's saying something else, and someone is saying something else. Today you're running away with this person, tomorrow you're running with another person. So you're confusing your mind. What you find to be in conformity with our old mashayikh and buzugaradin style, just move with it. The more you see that conformity, that old style, and that old ways, then there's a lot of security in that, a lot of safety in that. There's a lot of security. Now you get a movement now talking of jihad, very strong, right? Suddenly now they stop. Nobody can deny the fact that he is faris, right? But then you look at the circumstance and you look at the person as well. Has he got the ability and the strength to take on all those challenges? Today he will stand up and tomorrow he's flat down. Today he's talking, someone hyped him up, so that he'll hype up. He'll be hyped up. Tomorrow you ask him to get up for Fajr, he can't get up for Fajr. So that josh and that emotions are just for that moment. Now, here we need to bring the person up to the standard. Remember, the world belongs to Allah Ta'ala. He can give it to whoever he wants. Yu'ti man yasha. But then you have to show that what level of commitment you've got. You know, today one person was showing me his grandmother and her passport. So it's written there, photo not taken on account of religious reasons. And parda nashin. Parda nashin, she's a parda woman. And because of religious reasons, her photo doesn't appear here. So I explained to the person, see, whether Muslim was right, the world conformed to his standards. Whoever it was, but they agreed with our standards when we were right. But when we gone off, right? We gone off, we're doing all the wrong, right? There isn't a wrong that they don't see us involved in. Then, how do they respect us? They say, what you are doing, we're doing the same thing. You are mixing up with women, we mix up with women. You are involved in interest, we involve interest. You are involved in gambling, we involve in gambling. You do the same thing as we do. The only difference between you and us is you wear a kurta adsol. But we don't see any marked difference between you and us. So then, why do we leave our ways to hop onto your ways? Because you are identical to us. So Allah Ta'ala is saying to you, that I am prepared to give you all that influence, the strength, that might I can give it to you. But then show me your level of commitment. Otherwise, why do you want that power? You want that authority, you want that power, and you want that might and glory. But you want it without any type of commitment. Then why mustn't I give it to that kafir? You are committed, he's not committed. Why mustn't I give it to him? So you give me that commitment, I will give you that power. I'll give you that glory. I will give you that respect. But you show me your commitment. No, Allah, but that part of it I don't want to do. Commitment I don't want. To leave out interest, I don't want to do it. Gambling, I don't want to leave it out. Insurance, I don't want to leave it out. Mixing up with women, I don't want to leave it out. Picture taking, I don't want to leave it out. Mixed gatherings, I don't want to take it out. Enjoying myself in resorts, in all haram type of places, I don't want to leave it out. But Allah, I want that glory. Now, how do you become entitled to it? What makes you entitled? What makes you eligible? You want all the wrong. And you want that glory. Allah asks you, what is the reason? What is the reason for preferring you? You are exactly like that same person, that other person. So must I prefer you against him? Do you see where we stand? Where we stand? So it is just a veneer. And what Allah Pak wants, Allah Pak doesn't want the veneer, He wants to see you. And He wants to see what's in you. يَنْزُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ He sees into your heart. I was studying some ulama today, in the morning. One person was here for the Jummah namaz. Beard, dari, he got a turban, kurta. Should be over 50 years of age, 50, 60 years of age. So he's telling me, you know, Mawlana, today, in the Jummah namaz, and that someone's phone went on, you know. And that song that I think was playing, it just took me to the 50s, you know. It just took me to the 50s. So I'm telling Chacha, once a week you're coming here to the masjid. In that masjid, this is the commitment that you are giving. You would, that music and that girl that is singing, rather than you being with Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Pak's focus is the heart. Can you see the seriousness of this misdeem? You are with Allah Ta'ala at that time, once a week you came in here. And then one music had to play. And with that music that you ran off completely into the haram. Mentally you're there, your heart is there. And then you say, Allah Ta'ala forgive me, Allah Ta'ala give me all the bounties. Then Allah Ta'ala will ask you, what makes you deserving, what makes you eligible? That your heart is like that kafir's heart. Your behavior is like his ways. Your thinking and your reasoning is like his. Then what is the reason for preference? My nazar, my sight is focused at your heart. So you're doing everything what he's doing. Then what makes you eligible? What qualifies you? See, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَنْزُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ Allah looks at your heart. Looks at your deed and your heart. Not just the veneer. Not just that costume. So when Allah Pak granted Qarun all this wealth, his people told him, La tafar, don't boast. So in the one context, that happiness, and that happiness went to the level of boastful, of being boastful, of being proud. Right. In other words, that happiness, the height of happiness is that you begin to become proud and you become boastful. Because happiness at one level is permissible. But at the ultimate, at the height, then you begin to feel that there's nobody like me. You know, I'm strong, I'm mighty, I can do things, I'm influential. Right. So when you come at that point, then that's a dangerous point. And the people noticed it, that he was at that level. See. Sometimes people say, no, don't judge me. Don't judge me. No, but your behavior shows what you are. They say, no, you don't know what is in my heart. But your behavior shows what you are. See, for example, one person has got a dangerous weapon, right? And he comes into your house and you hit him. See, but don't judge my intentions. I didn't come. I didn't stab you. I didn't hurt you still. What will you say? But outwardly, what his behavior shows? His behavior shows that he's got some sinister intention, doesn't it? His outward behavior shows that he's got some wrong intentions. So you're not going to just let him lie there until he carries out his plan. But the moment you see he's coming into your yard, he's got a dangerous weapon, that you're going to retaliate. You either want to ask him, just run out, otherwise I'll do something to you. Won't you say that? But he said, no, I just came to admire your garden. You know, such a beautiful garden. But we know that you're admiring, but this is not the way. This behavior is unacceptable. When you came on and you trespassed, this was unacceptable. See that his outward is showing and expressing his inner self. So Qarun's behavior was showing what was in his heart. And therefore his people have reprimanded him that La tafrah. Don't be boastful. Don't be proud of yourself. That's what happens to us. And a man is nothing, then he doesn't speak. But the moment he becomes something in wealth, then he wants to speak. And speak to anybody and everybody. And then he doesn't realize that he's bringing his own loss. One word, and that one word brings you to your peril. But I don't know it. Simple, very simple. Be simple, be straight, be clear. I don't know it. Rather now, pretending to be what you aren't. When you pretend to be what you aren't, really it's a very dangerous path. Very, very dangerous path. I don't know it. It's so simple. Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali, in many sessions, he was a Imam of Dar al-Hijrah, Imam of Medina Munawara, the greatest Imam of the Medina Munawara. But in one session that he's sitting, people are posing questions, sometimes 30, 40 questions, I don't know, La Adri. I don't know it. Who is he? Imam Dar al-Hijrah. But there is nothing about pretending, I don't know it. The Malaika, there isn't a purer creation than the Malaika. And when Allah Pak speaks to them and he asks them, tell me the names. So they also say, Subhanaka la ilma lana. Glory be to you. And we don't have the knowledge. They also had the heart to say that we don't know it. So Imam Malik had the heart to say, I don't know. The Malaika, the purest creation, had the heart to say, we don't know it. In Tabrani, there is a hadith about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being questioned about Afdalul Buqa, the best spot in the earth, right? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, La, I don't know it. So the Malaika say, we don't know. Imam Malik says, we don't know. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he doesn't know it, he says, I don't know it. But today, this man here, that has come in this age, I know it. Technology is there, I know it. Nobody was come and teach me. I just press a button, press so and so, and I'll get all the answers that I want. So I know it. So I can make comments. I can decide. I can use my influence. But leave all this thing here. Be simple, be straightforward, be humble, submissive. Really, I haven't found anything as effective as being submissive and humble. Be submissive and be humble, and you will see Allah will just open up ways for you. But be submissive, be humble. Look into the tafsir of وَيَهَدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيب. You know, that Allah ushers someone into His grace, then how He ushers them into His grace? That person that is submissive and humble, I don't know it. Allah embraces him. But he must be submissive and he must be humble. But just accept what Allah says and submit. Show your humility and you see how Allah will embrace you. Isn't an easy path. But the moment I say, no, I know it, and I know it, I am so and so, Allah says, well, you know it, then you don't need me then, you know everything, then you don't need me, because you know it, you got the power, you got the strength, you got the might. See, the path to Allah Ta'ala is so simple, but then be submissive, just submissive and humble, just learn the two words in this session today. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I think we have scored and we have gained more than what we can bargain for. Just to be submissive and just to be humble. I don't know it. So on the one end, Allah Pak speaks to Qarun, la tafrah. Don't be boastful. But in the next verse, bifadlillahi bi rahmatihi fabidhalika falyafrahu. In Darul Diyoban, when it was the time of Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah, the founder of Darul Diyoban, the Ustad of Muhammad Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, the Mujaddid of the Zamana, revivalist of the Zamana. Imagine, what a great person he must have been. He's the highest position, he's the Shaykh al-Hadith, he's the founder of the Madrasa, he's the Qutub of the time, right? And he's the Ustad of the revivalist of the time. So now, many a times he's sitting in a lesson, and a student poses a question, or he poses some objection that you've given this explanation, and I don't seem to be agreeable to it. So, he will say, all right, I have understood it like this, let me go and find out. And he will go to an ustad that is inferior to him, and he will ask the ustad, what is the explanation here? He'll come back to the class and he says, no, this, what I've read, the explanation was given to me by this ustad here, and I didn't understand it, he understood it, and this is the right explanation. Many a time it would be, as a student will give an explanation, a student, obviously the student is inferior to him. So the student will give an explanation, and Mawlana will think for a moment that this explanation that is given by the student, is it right or not? When he sees that the student's explanation was right, he says, no, I stumbled, I made a mistake, the explanation that you have given is right. And he will say it second time, and the third time, and the fourth time. But you see, when you reach that level of humility and submission, then for you to have to say that is easy. It's like a person who's got a mountain of good, right? A mountain of praises, a mountain of achievement. So for him to share and to shift, to pass on 1-2 ounces is not a problem. But if you only got 1-2 ounces in his account, then what is he going to share? All that he's got is 1-2 ounces of, a little bit he's got now, a little bit that people are praising him. If he's going to move it, what is he going to be left with? So, the one place the Quran is saying, don't be proud. And here again the Quran is saying, بِفَضْلِ bi rahmati fa فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. What you need to be happy with, here it's going to be translated as proud, because proud and boastfulness is the ultimate, is the height of being happy. And here you take the meaning of happiness. So if you need to be happy, then with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, right? And with His mercy. Now what do you mean by the grace of Allah Ta'ala? See? We don't just give our own explanation. What is meant by the grace of Allah Ta'ala and His mercy? So the grace of Allah Ta'ala and His mercy is the Quran and Rasul-e-Paksasam, or the teaching of Rasul-e-Paksasam. One is the Quran and one is the teaching of Rasul-e-Paksasam. So if you need to be happy and pleased, then be pleased with the Quran and be pleased with the teaching of Rasul-e-Paksasam. This is where فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. These are the things that you're supposed to be expressing happiness. What are the things that you are amassing? هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. This is much more better than all that wealth that you are piling up. Where you are being boastful about that wealth that you are piling up, and you feel that you are what you are, you know, because of your influence and your affluence, right? Then this is nothing. Then this is the thing that you're supposed to be happy with. This is the thing that you need to marvel at. This is the thing that you're supposed to be rejoicing at. فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. Unfortunately, this is a subject on its own. and I need to expound on it, but I can see the time is already up. هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. Now, what is the reason that Allah Pak says that this is far better, far, far better than all that what you are amassing? Now, to understand that, understand the hadith which says that this whole world is a curse. All this wealth, everything that you are seeing, position and possession, affluence and influence, what is it? It's a curse. So when it's a curse, then it's nowhere near the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Because when you say curse, what you mean by curse? Curse means something that is away from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So everything is a curse. Right? Then opposite of curse would be that which is near to the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. That's bringing you closer, ushering you to the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Then that will be an exception. It will be opposite to curse. This is taking you away and this is bringing you in. So, what is the thing that will bring you in? What is the thing that will bring you into His mercy? And what is the thing that will distance you from His mercy? So you understood that the dunya is a curse, but then you need to know the opposite so you know that what will usher you into the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So the hadith says, إِلَّا عَالِمٌ. But the one that will instruct you to the love of Allah Ta'ala, to the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, an alim who can't lead you and usher you to the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala is not an alim. He's guiding you to what? He's guiding you to Allah Ta'ala. He's instructing you to Allah Ta'ala. He's worth His name. But if He's not guiding you and instructing you to Allah Ta'ala, then is He worth His name? So only that person is an exception. In other words, he's riding on an opposite direction. This person is taking you away, and this is bringing you to Allah Ta'ala, who is instructing you to Allah Ta'ala. So that is the first person. Or alimun. Illa dhikrul. First, or illa dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Then the one that instructs you and brings you to the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, there will be two people, two classes of people. One is that class that will bring you to Allah Ta'ala. So he knows what is Allah Ta'ala. That's why he can lead you to Allah Ta'ala. If he doesn't know Allah Ta'ala, can he lead you? He can't lead you. So hence, if you want to get to the proximity, you want to be ushered into the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, then dhikrullah, right? Or someone that's going to instruct you, because you don't know what is zikr. You think that zikr is just pulling a tasbih, right? So you don't know what's the meaning of zikr. What is meant by leading you to Allah, you don't know about it. So he'll tell you exactly what is meant by leading you to Allah Ta'ala. Right? So you have two classes of people that will bring you to this goal. One is that alim, right? Because he's instructing you. Or the second person, أَوْ مُتَعَلِّمٌ, is learning the instruction that will take him to Allah Ta'ala. أَوْ عَلِمٌ أَوْ مُتَعَلِّمٌ, right? Either the one that is instructing you, or learning that path that will guide you, that will bring you to this end. إِلَّا عَلِمٌ أَوْ مُتَعَلِّمٌ, إِلَّا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَوْ عَلِمٌ أَوْ مُتَعَلِّمٌ. Now why I say that ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ is misconstrued? Because we haven't understood the meaning of ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. Dhikrullah, at any situation, then what does Allah Ta'ala want from you in that particular situation? That is dhikrullah. In that situation, what Allah Ta'ala wants from you, to do exactly what He wants from you at that time, that is dhikrullah. Right? You've just got married now, and you come with your wife, right? Now to share that time with her, to make her happy, right? To make her, to please her for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, that is dhikrullah. Now at that time, if someone says, no, I'm going to make my tahajjud namaz from now till fajr namaz. See? And we'll talk afterwards, see? Right? Now he doesn't know what is zikrullah. If he knew what was zikrullah, he knows that at this time Allah Ta'ala wants me to be doing, sharing quality time with my wife. If he's not doing that, he doesn't know. He's missed the boat.